Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
It's not every day I'm able to bring on a real reporter that I respect, especially one that's been on the internet. I've watched his program many times. Of course, James Evan Pilato, my guest in studio tonight, has been on his program. James Corbett is an independent journalist who has been living and working in Japan since 2004. He's been writing and producing the Corbett Report online multimedia news and information source since 2007. His forthcoming book, Reportage, Essays on the New World Order, will be available for purchase later this year. And we're going to go right to him. James Corbett, welcome to Ground Zero.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Clyde. It's an honor to be here.
Remarkable reporter, remarkable guest. I'm so excited to have you here, and especially to bring a little credibility to all this speculation. Well, actually, I don't know if you want to back our speculation, but you certainly want to back up with facts, because you are a journalist and you have looked into all of these things we've been talking about here. I remember when they announced on May 1st of 2011 that Osama bin Laden was killed in Pakistan, the first thing that came out of the mouths of most of the reporters in the newsroom I was working for said, didn't we report this in 2001? What are your feelings on this?
Oh, well, it certainly was reported in 2001. Well, I may be a journalist, but I'm an honest journalist, so I'm going to say I have no idea what took place or didn't take place in Abbottabad that day, and whether or not there was someone there that they killed, whether it was Osama, I'm not going to say, because we just don't have enough facts. But that's the point. We don't have enough facts, and all the facts that they could have given us about this raid have been withheld from us. So you're exactly right. Back in 2001, Fox was reporting that a Pakistan Observer story that Osama bin Laden had died and was buried in Pakistan that month. In January of 2002, you had a Pakistani president saying that he thought he was dead. In July of 2002, you had the FBI counterterror chief, Dale Watson, saying he believed he was dead. 2002, you had Hamid Karzai, the Afghan president, saying he thought he was dead. November 2005, Senator Harry Reid. September 2006, French intelligence. In November 2007, Benazir Bhutto. It goes on and on and on. Osama bin Laden was pronounced dead 9 times between the December 2001 and the time he was finally pronounced dead. So who knows when he died or how he died, but I think the point is that every single point about they made about that raid has proven to be a lie and has been contradicted by later events that bore out the exact opposite of what they were saying. So I think we have to take everything skeptically. And why on earth would we believe them about this most important political story, simply because they say so?
In 2008, I made a statement, and of course, James Evan Pilato quoted an article I wrote called Bloating in the Deadpool, a story about how expedience would bring about the death of Osama bin Laden with regards to the Barack Obama presidency, and how it would happen just prior to him being reelected. And it seemed that this is going to be one of the staples, that and several other push button issues, but this is going to be one of the staples of the campaign that's going to be brought up during the Democratic National Convention. I look at it as a ploy for necromancy. They're using the dead to empower a president. I find that far more supernatural, far more paranormal than anything out there. What are your thoughts on the idea of exploiting the death of this of Osama bin Laden in the way they're doing so?
Well, sadly, the exploitation of death in the office, the Oval Office, has been pretty much par for the course since JFK had his brains blown out in broad daylight and LBJ stepped up to the plate. So I think we've seen this happen time and time again, and it's become this kind of sad ritual that takes place with each new president, that they have to campaign on the smoking rubble of some dead graveyard of one sort or another, whether it's Clinton's OKC or Bush standing on the rubble of Ground Zero, or Osama lording over the supposed burial at sea of Obama lording over the supposed burial at sea of Osama. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And you're exactly right. They use these deaths to empower their political campaigns and political fortunes. And it's pretty sick, macabre ritual, but it does play out because it plays so well with some of the public out there that's willing to believe them.
James, it's great to talk to you here, man. It's great to be able to kind of bring you on to discuss all of this. And that's the thing. I think we forget, too, that, you know, the empowerment and this happened on May Day. May Day being a high sort of occult holiday. May 1st being the day that, oh, gosh, what a coincidence. That's the day Hitler died. Oh, gosh, what a coincidence. That's the day Bush announced mission accomplished. And we see those kind of repeating motifs, just as, again, we see Obama See, it's
isn't
hard.
It the night of Walpurgis? It's Walpurgisnacht or Walpurgis night, the night of the fires where human sacrifice takes place. This is from a paranormal band. I know something about the occult, and that is Walpurgis is May 1st, and they had to have a sacrifice or at least a mock sacrifice. We do know, once again, mission accomplished is what George Bush did on May 1st when he was on the Abraham Lincoln, and he came down out of the sky. Mm-hmm. But that was a direct remake of Triumph of the Will, the Leni Riefenstahl film, where Hitler comes down out of the sky in the plane, ascends down, walks out, says hello to all of his soldiers, and then announces that you know, he's here to bring Germany to its feet. I just saw that as a complete repeat, and now we're and it was also interesting is that Osama bin Laden died around the same time as the marriage of Kate Middleton and Prince William.
Same week. Yeah. Same week.
So a lot of things were happening to keep our attention like completely on overload. And, you know, wasn't it you, James, that gave you did an editorial about this, this whole situation with Osama bin Laden. And what were some of the key points you made about it?
Well, with regard to the death story, I just pointed out that basically every single thing that they were telling us about that story proved to be completely untrue. They were saying that it was an opulent compound that he was living in, and that they came in and engaged in this intense firefight, and then that bin Laden returned fire, and he used his wife as a human shield, and they had it all on video. Every single one of those points turned out to be wrong. He was living in a Spartan home. It was there was no one with a. There was only one person with a gun. No one returned fire. There was no wife as a human shield. All of this has been contradicted. And then we had the reports of the helicopter, the downed helicopter, the MH-60 modified into a stealth technology that they say crashed on entry. But we had witnesses saying that they saw people coming out of the compound and get into the helicopter, which took off and then exploded. So there was contradictions there. You had people who lived there who were saying there's no way this was Osama bin Laden. We know who was there. And it was basically the Pakistani equivalent of West Point. So, I mean, there were police and military checks all over the place. There was no way that someone like that would have been there without his knowledge. But, of course, that sets up the political shenanigans between the U.S. and Pakistan and the finger pointing and the blame and all of that. So, again, there's just so many contradictory stories that I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of it. I think they've just obfuscated it behind as many cover stories as they want. And now they can get the cover stories to fight with the cover stories so that we fight over which cover story is correct instead of actually looking at, you know, who Osama is and where he comes from.
Exactly. James Corbett is with us tonight from the Corbett Report. We're so glad to have him on the program, bringing a little more credibility to the mix tonight. The Corbett Report is an independent, listener-supported alternative news source that operates on the principle of open-source intelligence, and it's providing podcasts, reports, and, of course, you get to hear James everywhere. He speaks on a number of shows similar to this one, and he's a well-known figure in independent journalism. We're glad to have him on the program tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions for both James here tonight and myself, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. With all the stories going on about the Osama bin Laden raid, it's best to say that it's all disinformation because we don't have any credible resource or anything. All we have is speculation. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Revolution.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful, and, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos, but we will restore chaos. Freedom is beautiful.
CBS News has been told that the night before the September 11th terrorist attack, Osama bin Laden was in Pakistan. He was getting medical treatment with the support of the very military that days later pledged its backing for the U.S. war on terror in Afghanistan.
In your speeches now, you rarely talk or mention Osama bin Laden. Why is that? Also, can you tell the American people if any more information, if you know if he is dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
Deep in your heart, don't you truly believe that until you find out if he is dead or alive, you won't really eliminate the threat of...
Well, deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run if he's alive at all. And I you know, who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. I don't know. We hadn't heard from them in a long time.
And in terms of these three people that you mentioned, were they members of or associated with the government?
Yes, well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He's a former military officer. He's someone that has had dealings with Jaish and Muhammad, one of the banned groups of Maulana Azhar, who was in an Indian jail for decapitating three British tourists and three American tourists. And he also had dealings with Omar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden.
I think that bin Laden symbolically has very great importance in the war on terrorism because he, for obvious reasons, he has been labeled wanted dead or alive. So symbolically, he has great importance. But the realities on the ground are that his ability to inflict any kind of damage on the United States of America has been dramatically diminished thanks to our really wonderful military successes in the region.
You're going to be destroyed.
Read by my lips. Phone is not for sale. Phone is not for sale. Phone is not for sale.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, James Corbett from The Corbett Report. Also, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com, our new producer on the program. Very glad to have him with us, both of them. Glad to have him with us tonight on Ground Zero. We're discussing the Phantom Menace, which is Osama bin Laden and the idea of expedience with announcing his death back in May of 2011. And now they're going to use it as probably one of the key points at the Democratic National Convention. James, I know that many people would say that, in fact, there was a number of guys who have written and have spoke on the air tonight about the possibility that Osama bin Laden completely is a myth and that Al-Qaeda is a myth. What do you say to that?
Well, a myth in the sense that he never existed, of course not, but a myth in the sense that Al-Qaeda, as we've been sold it, doesn't exist in the way that we've been sold it, absolutely, 100%. I think it has been completely a myth that's been propped up by the people who claim to be going against it. And of course, we can look back to the very foundation and the creation of Al-Qaeda back, of course, back in the Afghan war in the 80s. In fact, 1979, when Operation Cyclone started in the Carter presidency, and we had National Security Advisor Brzezinski saying, oh yeah, we actually funded those Muslims into committing terrorist attacks against the government there in Kabul in order to get to draw the Soviets in. So they now admit openly and on the record that it wasn't the Soviets that attacked Afghan in the first place. It was the Muslims that they stirred up and funded, and that they would go on to fund to the tune of several billion dollars in what's been the largest on the books, on the record, CIA operation in history. Of course, I'm sure there are many, many others under the black budget. But absolutely, ever since the beginning, they've been hand in glove, really, the U.S. intelligence agencies and Al-Qaeda. And one indication of that came from that montage we just listened to, where Osama bin Laden was staying at a military hospital in Rawalpindi the night before 9/11, under the eye of the Pakistani military, obviously under the eye of the Pakistani ISI, the intelligence service over there, which is nothing other than an adjunct of the CIA. In fact, the CIA even has final arbitration over who becomes the head of the ISI. So the idea that this was a real enemy that they were fighting and not someone that they were hand in glove with, I think is completely just out to lunch. And it's just part of that myth that perpetuates the whole paradigm.
And it just seems more and more the case. And I love the fact that we have a national forum now where we can present this type of information to people so that they can wake up. And that we can provide a game changer, or at least something to consider, other than the mainstream narrative, which seems to be so narrowed. And it's all based on, once again, political expedience. You have on one side, you have the CNNs and the MSNBCs that are just so pro-Obama, and then you have the Fox News networks out there that are just so pro-conservatism, and they think it's fair and balanced. But in reality, what we've got is a polarization of this country where people are going to lean towards either one side or the other side. And I always say, when you're in the midst of a fascist dictatorship, it doesn't matter whether it's a right foot or a left foot that's kicking in your door. The jackboot is definitely going to make its mark right on your face. And I just wish people would realize this.
Would you rather be shot in the head or have your throat slit open? I mean, it's the same thing either way. And you're exactly right. It's a distraction that works every time because people buy into it. But you think about this latest book that's just been released with this Navy SEAL confession about the raid and how they killed Osama, et cetera, and it gets people talking about it again. Whereas books like the recently released book by Sybil Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower, she released a book called Classified Woman, absolute bombshell information coming from an FBI agent who was there in the middle of the FBI Washington field office talking about the spy ring that was operating in the FBI Washington field office that had penetrated into some of the most secure nuclear locations in the United States. All of this incredible information that gets completely glossed over. It doesn't even get mentioned in the mainstream media, but this book about this supposed Osama bin Laden raid that we know nothing about and never will gets all of the attention. So it's just distraction after distraction instead of substance, which you could have so easily.
It's dime store comic book fiction, and it's done well by the Pentagon, and it's parroted by the media, and this is what we're seeing now. And I think a lot of people want to believe that it was all this simple and all this wonderful. I just watched Aaron Sorkin's Newsroom, and it was, you know, I watched that show because I hope that I can get something out of it. That's I've liked Aaron Sorkin's writing, but I'll tell you, when they did the Osama bin Laden death show about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I almost was ready to just turn it off. I thought it was sappy. I thought it was overwhelmingly jingoistic in a sense. And then when he sat there on the plane with a straight face, with these two captains standing there in the plane saying, "Our armed forces killed Osama bin Laden for you tonight," I about lost it. I was like going, man, and they're all saluting each other and all, you know, high-fiving each other. And I'm thinking, I never saw this when it happened. In fact, when it happened, I just noticed it happened on a day that nobody cared about. It was late at night, and they made the announcement late at night, so no one would really give a damn about it.
Well, this is the point where I think we can reach out to people who are still locked in that matrix, because people will look at this and they'll, I mean, it's so obvious, we don't even have to really point it out, but there are certain things that you just cannot question from either the left or the right side of that political paradigm, no matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you like blue or red. It is the same thing at the base when you start to look at some of these underlying ideas that about the Al-Qaeda myth and what happened with Osama and all of this and jingoistic rhetoric and DAA, we got him. All of this undergirds the entire political structure, and you can't question any of that. Otherwise, the people on the left will think you're from the right. The people on the right will think you're from the left, and they'll both hate you.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, it just breaks down that psychological operation they're trying to run on us.
Yeah, I find that happening all the time. You know, I'm talking about this stuff. So he says, well, you know, I'm on your side about this. And they think that I'm going to side with them on George W. Bush because I'm talking about Barack Obama. I said, wait a minute. No, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying it just because I said this that I'm a big pro-Bush supporter and that I love Dick Cheney to death. In fact, I wish I could squeeze him, you know, just a little bit. But yeah, will you say something?
Well, I've always found it fascinating that do you remember the show Crossfire on
Yes.
CNN?
Yes, I do.
That was essentially created and founded by a CIA guy, giving us the idea of these are the two sides. You can be this or you can be that. Anything else doesn't fall into the paradigm, and anything else will be disregarded.
And it's unfortunate those things happen. I'm going to go quickly to AJ, who's been waiting. AJ, hi, you're on Ground Zero calling from Portland. Go ahead.
I have a question that we were keep on getting on CNN and all the news media that videotapes of Osama bin Laden all the way up to 2005. Mm-hmm. If you are saying that he was dead in 2001 or early 2002, that why were we reporting about his videotapes all the way up to 2005, 2006.
Ask his son. He'll tell you they weren't real. He'll tell you they're fake, and that wasn't his father that he saw. He'll tell you that wasn't his father, and if you look at a lot of these, they look like they were made using some sort of a program. And in fact, towards the end, I made the comment that Disney did a great job in animatronics making it look like Osama bin Laden was real. I think that they all looked phony and fake, and in fact, there was I can find the CIA agent who even said that he felt that they were phony and fake as well.
Yeah, then this thing comes into my mind that is that all the administrations are staging these things that first it was like Saddam Hussein with a shotgun in his hand and coming out on his porch and showing it off to all the public in America, and then it was like Osama bin Laden with AK-47 and a bunch of his terrorists behind him and hooligans, and they were showing it. So it was just a terror that was being injected into the general public of America that, hey, these are the two big threats to the America, and we have to take care of these things?
Well, look at it this way. Franklin Delano Roosevelt once said, if it happens, it's because we planned it that way. You look at the motto of the Israeli Mossad. They say, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. These are all things that, you know, the idea is during war, the biggest casualty is the truth. And most of the time, you're not getting a lot of it because they don't want you to know everything. And now with this new book out, this Mark Owen book, they're already criticizing the guy. And they're saying, why didn't you go through proper channels so that we can filter what the American people can swallow? And AJ, I thank you for your call. And that's exactly what they were saying with this. They were saying, look, we're angry. And then you bring on all these soldiers that are willing to go on camera and say, he's betrayed us. He's betrayed a trust. Well, what about the president with this whole movie thing?
Uh-huh.
He's betrayed a trust as well.
And that's, we were discussing earlier. They essentially slipped information to these filmmakers that, you know, how is it okay that Catherine Bigelow can make a film to perpetuate the myth, but this, you know, Navy SEAL can't write his book to perpetuate a different myth? Again, Corbett's nailing it, though.
Yeah, definitely so. We got James Corbett with us and James Evan Pilato tonight on Ground Zero. Give us a call, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Tonight, a very controversial program because we're investigating the, I guess you could say there's both the supernatural element, the conspiracy element, the occult element, which is necromancy, empowering the dead, using the dead to empower someone, which is, of course, Barack Obama, the DNC. They're going to be discussing that. In fact, they're already doing it on CNN. They're priming the pump for the lie, which is the Osama bin Laden death, and the distractions that are included with all them. Tonight, my guest, James Evan Pilato from Media Monarchy, and also independent journalist James Corbett, was on the phone with us in Japan tonight. And if you have any questions, once again, numbers are called 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. So, James, you had a question for James Corbett.
Well, I think as we're discussing these, the books and the movies and all these things in a kind of a media-addled culture are ultimately a distraction. So, James, so many of these other distractions that we've seen kind of play out throughout the years, right?
And you notice how they always come out around the 9/11 anniversary. It's mm-hmm. It's interesting how these distractions always ramp up right around this time of year. So a couple of years ago, August 2010, what was the big distraction everyone was talking about? The Ground Zero Mosque. And everyone was up in arms, and there was a big debate about free speech and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, when you scratched even just a tiny bit off the top layer of the surface of that argument, you find who was stirring the argument up. It was the Council on Foreign Relations publishing all of these op-eds and letters on their CFR.org about this controversy. And later it came out that the imam of the Ground Zero Mosque was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that his Cordoba initiative was funded by the Carnegie Corporation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers. I mean, it goes on and on. So that was a distraction from start to finish, and it did its job quite well because no one talked about 9/11 on the 9th anniversary. They were all talking about that mosque.
Well, I was dismissing the fact that a lot of people were all getting up in arms about a Ground Zero Mosque, and I told everybody in my audience, I said, I found out after doing much discovery, self-discovery, and a lot of study, that Ground Zero itself, the Twin Towers, were designed after Mecca. That the designer wanted to create something that would be in honor of Mecca, and so he created the two minarets, or the towers, and in the middle was the Benben Stone, or the stone which, of course, at Mecca is in a box, and they walk around it. And so he did the same thing with the Twin Towers. And so I said, here we are all up in arms about a community center being produced by Islam, or a Muslim center, and, of course, the CFR ties. And then we look at this, and all Ground Zero was a replica, or at least an homage to Mecca, which I thought was funny.
So,
and
James,
of course, that goes even further back when you look at it, because of course it is tied into Mecca like that, but it's also tied into the Freemasonic religion and to the Joachim and Boaz and the walking around the stone as the initiation. So it goes even further back.
Exactly.
James, I'm glad you mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations. To dig deeper into this story and to kind of look into it, a couple of years ago, I interviewed a great friend of mine and a great friend of Media Monarchy and Corbett Report, Richard Grove, who runs TragedyAndHope.com, which, of course, takes its name from the Carol Quigley book.
Yes.
The expose of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Mm-hmm.
In the same issue of Foreign Affairs, the CFR's journal, back in 1998, they had two different articles. One was called License to Kill by a guy named Bernard Lewis, and another was called Catastrophic Terrorism by John Deutsch, Philip Zelikow, and a guy named Ashton Carter. Within those two stories, they essentially laid out in a Tom Clancy-like fashion all of the elements of what would become, just 3 years later, the story of, okay, here's bin Laden, okay, here's terrorism, okay, here's war. It was all of the elements that, again, could be put together by, ultimately, intelligence agencies that we're not going to really know what went down, whether we're talking about bin Laden or Oswald. That's how it goes.
Well, intel strategists, obviously, were already plotting this. We do know about it. This is where predictive programming comes in, where we've all discussed the possibility that all this was foreseen in movies. And in fact, if you watch Independence Day, you'll see that it did happen, like almost in sequence, where we're attacked by an alien enemy, which eventually the president gets up there and he says, "Today we're going to declare war against," and the whole thing. And it seemed like it all went in some sort of an intel template. And I always tell people, pay attention to the template, because there's intelligence behind every evil. As I said before, FDR says, if it happens, we planned it that way. It's exactly the way I see things anymore.
So, James, briefly, we're talking about videos and movies. The Osama videos, break those down quickly.
I've done all sorts of research on that. So much to say, but one thing to say, there was a computer programmer took a look at some of the watermarks on some of the videos and showed that the Intel Center that's putting these videos out, it has the watermark at the same level as the Al-Qaeda media group that's putting them out. So it's the same, one and the same. It's being run from the same place. And all of this you can prove for yourself with some basic software.
So, James, can we squeeze another hour out of you? You need to go.
I'm free as long as you need me.
I would love to have you on for another hour. James Corbett on the air with us tonight on Ground Zero. So glad to have him on. And also we have James Evan Pilato, the new producer of Ground Zero. We're glad to have him on tonight with us. Of course, a great journalist in his own right with MediaMonarchy.com. Two great journalists on this program. We're glad to have him along. More about Osama bin Laden and the possibility of all this being one big story, which, of course, it feels more and more like it is. And, of course, if you're looking at all this disinformation, you have to dismiss it all, regroup, rethink, reinvestigate. We have to do this now, or it's just going to end up like another Kennedy assassination or a 9/11 inside job story, where we're going to have all these theories, but not a lot of facts backing up those theories. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We're going to go to more calls coming up. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
I mean, some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by. You have 5 seconds. Five. Information is free. Four. Three. There is two. Hope. One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up, give up, give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Well, Well, so far we're beginning to see that there will be a kicking of the corpse. Osama bin Laden's corpse that'll be happening around the time of the Democratic National Convention, and soon we'll be hearing the words, Barack Obama killed Osama bin Laden for you and your freedom. The entire platform will be based in exploiting the death of a corpse that is, well, in my opinion, already been floating around and bloating in the blue, bloated dead pool of deception. They will remind us that Obama put to death the man that he was the mastermind behind the September 11th attacks. They will drum up the magical necromancy of the 3,000 dead in the aftermath of 9/11. This is the most powerful ritual of the dead that we've been doing here in this country. It's compared to the cremation of care ritual where human beings are sacrificed and a tower set ablaze, burned, and then, of course, we all go back to that magical moment and we forget that the truth escapes everyone in war because we get bombarded with all kinds of stories. And Americans, of course, don't know, and a lot of them probably won't even want to acknowledge the fact that Osama bin Laden was one of the 10 most wanted fugitives of the FBI and that he was not wanted for anything having to do with 9/11. It was announced on June 6, 2006, that there was not enough evidence to support bin Laden's connection to 9/11 attacks and that he was in connection with the August 7, 1998 bombings of the United States embassies in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. According to the FBI, these attacks killed over 200 people. And the FBI concluded its reason for wanting bin Laden is for other possible terror attacks around the world. According to the FBI, there was no hard evidence suggesting bin Laden carried out the attacks. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. My guests tonight, James Evan Pilato and James Corbett, you know, it makes a lot of sense because how many times were we hearing that some mastermind plotted, there were a number of masterminds plotting the World Trade Center attacks, and different names came up, and it just confused the substance. And at one point, we had another guy even looked like Osama bin Laden. He grew a beard and was almost like, oh, wait, they got a clone and the duplicate. And it just seems to be out of control. And as James Corbett said, the distractions are everywhere. We have all kinds of distractions that take us away from at least thinking about how everything happened in sequence. Mm-hmm. So
there's, well, you know, you're talking about, is it Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or, you know, which mastermind was it?
Exactly right. We don't know and we never will know because of the disinformation. You know, James, you've been doing this for some time. Do you have any kind of a knack for digging through disinformation to find that kernel of truth buried in all the nonsense?
I'd like to think I am, and perhaps I should tell myself as such. But honestly, no. It's just going through and finding what backs up the stories they're trying to bring to us. So if they say something, I just don't take their word for it, and I'll just try to keep digging until I find something that actually we can go back to. So for example, you're talking about some of the things that the FBI does blame Osama bin Laden for. One of them being the Khobar Towers bombing back in Saudi Arabia in 1996. And Osama took credit for that. But any guess on who got the cleanup contract for after the Khobar Towers were destroyed?
Carlyle Group?
No, even better.
Who?
The Saudi bin Laden Group. So he blows them up and his family knocks them down and rebuilds them, I guess.
Oh, man. Disaster capitalism.
It doesn't get any stupider than that. But because the bin Laden family issued a two-sentence statement back in the 1990s saying they disowned Osama, apparently we're supposed to take that as meaning that there's no connection between them and never was after that point. So that's the type of game that gets played with all of this. And anyone who's really researched into it knows that there's obviously still connections between bin Laden and his family, or there was when bin Laden was still alive, assuming he is dead.
Yeah, their family got channeled out of here really quick out of the United States when they did the no-fly zone over the country, and they were flown out okay.
Sure did. And it gets even worse because two of his brothers were actually under watch by the FBI back in 1996. BBC News uncovered some internal FBI documents showing that the agents who were the FBI agents who were investigating into these bin Laden brothers were actually ordered off the investigation, and they weren't put back on until 1 week after 9/11. And the very day after that, they were fled the U.S. under the FBI's eye. So absolutely, just it's right in your face.
Let's go to some calls right now calling in tonight from Ohio. It's Rusty. Hi, Rusty. You're on Ground Zero with James Corbett and James Evan Pilato. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I was passing by the radio and I heard the conversation, and I'm not buying into the fact that there are all these different possibilities about bin Laden.
Okay, and even though we've cited sources, you don't buy into the possibilities.
Yeah, I don't believe any of the sources. But now, with you, I don't want to make a bet because people are bringing you information and you probably don't know whether it's right or wrong. But the gentleman who's making all of these claims, I would like to make a bet with him. All he has to do is proof, and all he has to do is name the amount. There's no joke. I want him to put his money where his mouth is.
What are you talking about?
I want him to make a bet. I want him to bet that Obama is dead. What you call it?
We're not saying he's not dead. We're saying he died in 2001, Rusty.
Yeah, I understand.
And he did.
No, I understand what you said.
Okay.
He's dead. And I'm saying, I don't believe you. Prove it. And put a reasonable amount of money on it.
Okay, so, well, what do you have to prove that it isn't true?
Wait a minute. I don't have to.
No, you're making the bet. You got to give me something to compare it to so I know that I'm not into a sucker bet here. I've got resources. I've got James, and James giving me resources as well. We've been giving you so many resources, and you don't buy it, so you're going to put up money and bet. Well, I can show you my resources, but that's not going to satisfy a bet. No way. It doesn't satisfy Jack.
No.
No. What, Rusty? You don't make any sense.
You made a claim.
I did make a claim, and I stick by my claim because the sources say that he died in 2001. You've got all of these leaders saying that he died in 2001. You got Karzai, you got Musharraf, you got Benazir Bhutto, who ended up being assassinated after she made the claim that he was killed.
I called because I heard what you were talking about.
Yes, okay, so I'm giving you all the names and all the sources, and you still say that you don't buy it. Well, that's fine. You don't have to buy it, but putting up a bet is stupid.
I don't buy it. And
okay.
If you name all of these sources and all these possibilities, and you got word from this person and that newspaper and this, all I'm saying is prove it. And I'll put my money where my mouth is.
Who are the sources that you value, Rusty?
It's irrelevant.
What do you mean it's irrelevant? If there's going to be a bet here, I'm not going to be betting. I'm not going to be putting my friends on the line with a bet if you're not going to provide sources that you think are credible sources. You're not making any sense, Rusty. You say, I don't buy it, but I'll put up a bet. Okay, you put up a bet. But
okay,
what's that going to prove? You have nothing. You have nothing to back up your bet with.
Time out. I say Obama did it.
Obama did what?
I say that Obama's...
Okay, I'll make a bet that Obama didn't do it. If we go by the original story, the Navy SEALs did it, and Obama didn't do a damn thing. Just sat back and said, okay, I'm going to take the credit for it.
That may be.
Gosh.
But the fellow that you have on is giving all of these other possible options.
No, he's not. He's giving what has been reported.
Can I step in for a second?
Please.
I don't mind.
I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying, because I'm not saying that he died in 2001 or he died in 2011. I'm saying I don't know, and I'm looking for the proof. So if you have the proof, please provide it to me. I'm thirsting for it. I'm hungering for the proof. Just give it to me. Lay it on me.
No.
Oh.
No, I can't provide it.
Time out. There's no point in yelling. Time out.
Nobody's yelling. We're wondering where you're
quiet.
It's very quiet. We were waiting for you to say something, Rusty.
Your reason for bringing those up is you're saying Obama couldn't have done it because of all of these other things, all of these other claims. He couldn't have done it because of all these other claims. That's what you're coming across with. So all I'm saying is prove one of those other claims. I don't have to prove Obama. You're just saying that Obama didn't do it because these guys did. And I'm saying, prove it.
Nobody said that anybody did anything. It was all reported. And then, of course, we come around and we have another phantom report. And what I'm saying is that with all of this disinformation, all the stories are nonsense because they cancel themselves out.
Then why pass any of them along?
Because it's what everybody needs to do to make their own decisions, Rusty, as to whether or not it happened or not, the way it's said, the way the narrative's giving us.
The first premise is that you're bringing all of these up to show that Obama didn't do it. And you've said it's...
No, I'm bringing them up to show that there is something called an attention deficit democracy in this country where we're completely buffaloed because everything goes into the memory hole and is flushed several times in hopes that none of the crap comes back up again in the cesspool. That's what I'm pointing out, Rusty.
Then why bring all this up?
Because he's going to use it as a staple for his campaign.
Exactly. No, the point isn't that we have to prove something about things that we don't have any access to any of the information. The administration has all of the data they could possibly need, and they're not showing it to us. They have to prove it to us, not the other way around.
I voted for Bush to Daddy. I voted for Clinton. I voted for Bush the son two times.
And this isn't about politics. It's about whether or not we're being deceived.
Now,
that's what it's about, Rusty.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said this isn't about politics. It's about whether or not we're being deceived.
I understand. So what you're doing is that your premise is that Obama's deceiving us. And if it's not, that's not your premise, the rest of it makes no sense. So that has to be your premise.
No, the premise is that our government, they deceive us all the time. Not just Obama, but also Bush, also the one before him and the one before him. It's all a big agenda, and we all follow along like cattle and sheep to the slaughter. And Rusty, that's the point. It's not about politics. It's not red state. It's not blue state. It's the state versus you. It's always been that way, Rusty. So there you go. If you think that it's because of partisan politics, you're wrong.
I don't disagree with that.
You're okay,
I absolutely
then.
Don't disagree with
all right, me. Then we're of common ground, and we have to leave. Thank you, Rusty, for the call. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. James Corbett is with us, and also James Evan Pilato. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
National convention, and then having CNN spend 2 days on it talking about whether or not it harmed Mitt Romney's chances for president. I couldn't believe how banal that is, how utterly stupid and senseless it was to talk about this for 2 days when Neil Armstrong died and he was supposed to have walked on the moon and he gets barely a blurb.
It kind of shows the type of society that we've descended into in this day and age, though, doesn't it? It's this kind of sad indictment of the spectacle that we society that we are now. It's all about what things look like and the surface presentation. And what better metaphor for that than an actor giving a performance on stage at the RNC, and that becomes the central issue of the presidential campaign? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I know. I think the only thing that I find more interesting is when he did the whole cut the throat thing, which I went, ooh, that was a little much.
That to me, those are the kind of things that really make me kind of pay attention. And I found it really fascinating, and I had listened to it in a reverse way. Webster Tarpley, a fantastic historian, radio host, and researcher in his own right, on his own radio show, I was listening to it after the fact, after the Clint Eastwood throat cut, on his August 25th episode, Tarpley mentioned with the upcoming, Bishop Romney and the Mormon thing, a Masonic throat cut. So Tarpley mentioned this sort of Masonic throat cut meme, and then, Bohemian Grover Clint Eastwood goes on the stage and makes this throat cut reference. So these are the kind of those signs and symbols that float around in the media that do kind of scare me.
See, and I wonder why you and I both thought the same way when we saw that throat cut, because I was thinking that way. I was thinking, wow, that's pretty heavy to be doing. I mean, they go after a Marine. They go after Brandon Robb for posting, what did he say? He says, get my axe and lop off some heads. He quoted some, the band was called Swollen Members or something.
Oh, yeah.
He quoted this band. He said, get your axe, cut off some heads, and then we have the throat cutting. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, a Marine said something or did something on his Facebook similar, was taken away by Secret Service. Clint Eastwood does it, and it's immediately made fun of with a chair. And it's just, like I said, the banality just escapes. It's just amazing. And James, did you think that was just a little much?
To be honest, you know what? I didn't actually know that happened. I listened to the speech. I didn't actually watch it. I had it on in the background while I was doing other things. So I didn't see that. And I never picked up on that. And I never heard anyone comment on it. That is interesting, especially because of all the assassination memes surrounding Obama's presidency that we've seen right from the beginning. And with this latest plot in, what was it, Georgia, or where they were planning on taking over the base and assassinating Obama, et cetera. So that's been floating around for years now.
And you had, one of the lead guys in that group, his name was Isaac. So again, these are the sort of synchromistic things that float around there. But James, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head right there. That really ultimately scares the hell out of me.
Oh, it scares me too. And I mean, I tell you, that kind of thing would throw the country in such disarray, you wouldn't believe. Let's go now to, I believe it, is it Tell in California?
Yeah.
Hi, Tell, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing? I just had a question about the assumption that Osama bin Laden was killed in 2001. I just, on a political front, I don't understand how the Republicans even George Bush, when he was in office, why wouldn't count that, you know, on his record? And then now to let Obama take all the credit for it in his reelection campaign, if he was actually killed in 2001, it just seems like somebody would be trying to, you know, let the cat out of the bag and not let Obama use this as, you know, propelling his campaign.
Well, think of this philosophy, okay? The war was still new. We went in, and if we were to say, look, the whole purpose of the war is we're to, A, go after the quote-unquote perpetrators. So we went after Saddam Hussein, and we went after Osama bin Laden. Well, how bad would it look if we sent the troops after, Osama bin Laden, having him die within months afterwards? We wouldn't have a reason to be at war. We wouldn't have a reason to prolong the war. War is bringing in a number of things. And if you notice that after 2001, all the questions to Bush, to George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and all the others, even to John McCain and others, they downplayed the role that Osama bin Laden had as the head guy. They downplayed it, and when they were asking questions about it, in fact, it was even an issue in John Kerry and Bush when they were discussing it. John Kerry asked him. The president downplayed it and said he didn't know where he was and didn't care anymore, probably thought he was dead. And then Bush reiterated and said, I think that's an exaggeration, when he did say that he didn't care and he thought he was dead.
And those are the Skull and Bones brothers, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which I find interesting that they called the assassination of Osama bin Laden in 2011 Operation Geronimo, which, of course, is a Skull and Bones reference as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Thank you. And let's see. 888-673-3700. 888-673-3700. We go now to Steve in Missouri. Hi, Steve. You're on Ground Zero with James Corbin, James Evan Pilato. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I really enjoy your program, and I'm glad y'all got to come over to SiriusXM. Great program. James, I've kind of got a question as far as the whole thing with these foreign dictators is, and other foreign millionaires and billionaires, they all have these body doubles, right?
Yep.
And I was kind of wondering, there's several examples of where they've claimed Osama bin Laden died several times. I was in high school throughout most of it, and going through the newspaper classes, we had to write these things about Osama bin Laden being killed. Is there a possibility that maybe some of his body doubles were killed, and maybe we didn't have the right guy, or maybe he did die of natural causes in 2001, and that maybe a body double was killed or something like that?
Steve, we'll answer your question on the other side of the news, so hang in there, buddy, okay? We'll be back.
Yes.
Hang in there. We'll see you soon. Thank you for calling. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that Osama bin Laden conducted an operation that killed the United States, the leader of Al-Qaeda, who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children.
Our very freedom came under attack.
It was nearly 10 years ago.
In a series of deliberate,
bright September day was darkened by the worst attack on the American people.
The victims were in airplanes.
The images of 9/11 are seared.
Secretaries and businessmen and women.
Hijacked planes carrying through
workers.
Cloudless September sky. The Twin Towers collapsing to the ground.
Thousands
black
of lives
smoke
were suddenly
billowing up
by
the Pentagon.
This
wreckage of Flight 93 in
in Shanksville.
Pictures of airplanes flying in the buildings. Citizens fired, burning, huge structures collapsing. That filled us with disbelief.
And yet we know that the worst images are those that were unseen to the world.
Terrible sadness.
The empty seat.
You ought to make my day.
Okay.
The empty seat.
You ought to make my day.
Okay.
The empty seat.
You ought to make my day.
Okay.
The empty seat.
You ought to make my day.
Okay.
The empty seat.
You ought to make my day.
I'll start it. You finish it. Go ahead.
Walk of life united and our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down many enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night. And God bless America.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. 1-888-673-3700. That's 1-888-673-3700. Tonight, James Evan Pilato is with us, an independent journalist, James Corbett from the Corbett Report. Question is, I mean, do you believe the narrative story? I mean, we're giving you a reason to question, and if you still stick by it, I wonder why. Because, I mean, I know being in the news like I have been these past couple of years, I actually, you know, it's as I said, when I first came into the studio the day that they reported Osama bin Laden would be dead, it was dead, I had a reporter say to me, you know, didn't we already report the story? And I says, yeah, it's like deja vu. I want to read something quickly from, and then we'll answer Steve's question. Some guy named Wayne in my Facebook says, hello, I just found you guys on my local station. Thank God. I usually listen to another show on another station, but your program is interesting tonight. What I would like to know is there a political ideology you and your program subscribe to? And the answer is no. Thank you.
That's the thing, Clyde. I think we find with each of the callers, and the callers are great, and we love it, but they all seem to still come down on, but which side are you on?
Yeah, well, we cannot, you know, that's the thing, is that there is no side. It's called being objective. It's called keeping the empire honest. That is the job that most journalists have neglected. Now back to Steve in Missouri. He asked the question about, could it be that we had a doppelganger die? Or there were many doppelgangers. What do you think, James? James, what do you think about it? James Corbett.
Certainly it's a possibility. Why not? I think there have been reports of Osama bin Laden body doubles, and some of the earliest reports from that were speculating that it might have been the body double that was killed, or, you know, it might have been a body double that was killed previously. So who knows exactly what the case may be, but let's look at the evidence for and against. So the evidence against would be the government coming out within literally hours of bin Laden being killed, saying they have the 99.9% accuracy DNA sample that shows that this was Osama bin Laden. And it's interesting, right? Of course, that was just reported absolutely unequivocally by pretty much everyone. Oh, 99.9%, this is Osama bin Laden, this is Osama bin Laden. But you had David Kay, who was a faculty member of the forensic science program at Penn State University, come out the very next day with a blog post saying this 99.9% number is just completely fictitious. It depends on all the other circumstantial evidence that they haven't provided, and we have to know where the sample came from, what sample they're comparing it to, and how they eliminate the possibility that this is some other type of relative or someone else in the family. So again, 99.9 is just the number that they plucked out of thin air, but of course it gets reported on and everyone thinks so. And then there's even the story of how they got the DNA and how they're comparing it and all of that. So there's a lot of questions there, and I don't think we can just take what they say on face value.
Steve, thank you for calling the program.
I've got one other question, if you'll allow me.
Quickly.
Okay. There was a man that was a top advisor to Bush on the Middle East. About a year before all this happened with Osama being killed and all that, Jack Wheeler was killed in a kind of mysterious way.
You talking about John Wheeler?
John Jack, okay. Anyway, I was kind of wondering if y'all knew about that, because that was just weird, the timing on it, the fact that he was top advisor on the Middle East to Bush, and then all of a sudden all these stories coming out, you know, just weird timing. Wondering if you knew anything about it. I've been digging and digging, and I can't find anything.
Really, the story, I think, of John P. Wheeler III, it was the guy who essentially was wandering around New Year's Eve 2010 and was found in a Delaware landfill in 2011.
Right.
He worked for something called the MITRE Corporation, M-I-T-R-E, which has, you know, of course, connections to all the intelligence angles. I've not been able to find any connection to John P. Wheeler's death to the impending announcement of the death of Osama, as much as there is connections to John P. Wheeler's death concerning cyber terrorism and also, you know, chemical terrorism. And I think that might, you know, take us to some whole other angle there. But of course, the death of John P. Wheeler III is yet another kind of mysterious death.
Steve, thank you for the call.
All right. I thank you all very kindly.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye. We go now to Brandon in Government Camp, Oregon. You're on Ground Zero.
How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Great.
Doing well.
Good. First thing I want to say is... all the mainstream media and whatnot tell more stories than Mother Goose, straight up. We all don't know what is what. Mm-hmm. We're never going to know. It could be a body double. It could be. But you would think what really rubbed me the wrong way was about how Brandon Robb gets busted for saying something on, you know, Facebook. But lo and behold, we're getting a book from Navy SEALs saying stuff about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, scratches my head a little bit. Now, who cares if he's dead, if he's not? And of course, whoever keeps pulling the strings for presidential elections and this and that, people need to wake up.
Well, it matters because I think, James, you said it best about James Evan Pilato. About you said it's a question of whether or not Obama has, what'd you say?
Oh, well, it seems like with the story of these two guys that, you know, one of them doesn't seem to have a birth certificate and the other one doesn't really seem to have a death certificate.
Right.
Yeah, just like our president, right?
Well, yeah, but what we're saying is that it is important whether he's dead or alive, or it is important whether he died when he said he did, because history is important, and the idea of whether or not it's expedient to Barack Obama for his reelection. And in my opinion, it is a factor, and it will be exploited and talked about over and over again during the Democratic National Convention when it's in Charlotte. And believe me, it's going to be used as a tool to get people to just stand up with tears in their eyes and thank our externalized savior for saving us from that horrible, horrible made-up phantom by the name of Osama bin Laden.
Of course, and you know, I'm quite frankly surprised that a lot of people don't start speaking tongues once Obama starts speaking. You know, this is just obviously a publicity thing,
right?
You know, stitch in their election or whatnot,
right?
And you know, individuals saying, "Oh, you know, this and that about him being dead. No, no, he's dead." We don't know. We're never going to find out. We just need to start focusing on ourselves.
That's right. Well, you know, and you're right about that. But I just think that it needs to be brought up that this book is actually once again a demonstration of how the entire story, no matter who tells the story, even us talking about the story, I mean, we can say, well, it's this, this, and this, but any story about Osama bin Laden now has to be dismissed because it just seems to me that everything coming out now is all disinformation, including what Osama bin Laden, what Barack Obama has decided that he wants to put out there as well.
I just think it's funny how they make a big thing about Al-Qaeda. We all know Al-Qaeda is just another role play.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, James Corbett said the same thing. He said it was all a myth and a distraction. Yes.
We are there for their resources, plain and simple. Now, if you look at that, ever since the war, all of our heroin and weapons and everything went up. Now, if you start doing a little bit of math, start putting things together, I think a lot of people would figure it out.
Well, opium certainly is very valuable, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, and it's a big cash sign.
Well, I appreciate the call. You know, and Brandon, you're right. I'll tell you this. I was told once that they control the water, they control the food, and they control your pain. And what better way to control your pain than control the opium trade? And it just seems to me that's what seems to be on the, I guess, the agenda. Let's go to Thomas in Florida. Hi, Thomas. You're on Ground Zero with James Corbett and James Evan Pilato.
How you doing? Two quick points. Well, first of all, I don't believe the Navy SEALs killed him. Even if they did, even if that is the story, why doesn't anyone mention that that would be a violation of international law? Mm-hmm. To just go in and murder someone. But aside from that, I always found it odd. They killed him, then dumped him in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of story is that? I mean, why wouldn't they bury him, turn the body over to his family, or do anything else with it, rather than just make it disappear?
And they're counting on the American people to say, well, he's lucky he got that. I think that's what they were hoping for. Is that, and I've heard that before. Well, he's lucky he got treated that way. Go ahead, James.
And, well, and earlier in the show, we basically cited from the WikiLeaks Stratfor email leaks that say, no, we flew him back here, thank goodness. So even the story of, oh, we dumped him in the ocean doesn't seem to hold up, that maybe they did fly his body back here.
Yeah.
Oh, they changed the story. I didn't hear that.
So, oh, yeah. We cited again. We got the story that there was actually a story that we wanted to show that changes the entire story about how they flew his body to the States instead of burying him at sea. And this has been part of, once again, the disinformation about Osama bin Laden, where it'll be a mystery till whenever. Go ahead, James.
Well, emails that, again, came from this whole Stratfor WikiLeaks leak. Basically shows from now I'm scrolling around that his body was bound for Dover, Delaware on a CIA plane and onward to the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Bethesda, Maryland. So again, basically emails that came out from Stratfor, which is an intelligence firm, Stratfor. Their emails were leaked, and within there you have intelligence guys saying, oh, they didn't dump him at sea. They flew him back here. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. It's all just
a distraction. Even in numerology, 11 is the number of distraction, and there's a reason why 9/11 was chosen as the date for this event.
Thomas, you're wide awake, and we appreciate you calling tonight.
All right.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. And we'll be back with more from James Corbett of the Corbett Report. Also, James Evan Pilato tonight on Ground Zero. Taking your calls as well, 1-888-673-3700. That's 1-888-673-3700. Are you considering now that perhaps this whole story about Osama bin Laden is fishy? And can you see how it's going to be used as a staple for the platform of the new presidency of Barack Obama? Well, call us and let us know what you think. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
James Corbett is with us along with James Evan Pilato tonight on Ground Zero. We're going to go to a few more calls. Go to Ingrid. You're on with James Evan Pilato and James Corbett. Go ahead quickly.
Yes. I understand that he was trained in the School of the Americas. We trained him. Al-Qaeda set up. And supposedly, he's been dead for years. He was on dialysis, and that this whole thing about him being killed last year is a facade.
It is a facade. Is that what you feel, Ingrid?
That's my stance.
You think it's just horrible that people are buying into the lie?
Yes, and that we trained him to fight the Russians.
Yeah, we did. Ingrid, you're very smart. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Ray in California. Ray, you're on with James Corbett and James Evan Pilato.
James, I just want to say that I'm really proud of everything that you've been doing, and I've been following you for a while now. One note is that you guys need to pay attention on the date. The date that this was done was May 1st, which is Beltran. Now, what happened also on that day was the beatification of Pope John Paul in the Vatican. So this was a staged event. When this happened at about 10 o'clock that day, I told my girlfriend, I said, there's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to have to do with blood sacrifice and fire. Didn't happen. We didn't find out till 6 or 7 o'clock what happened. And I was in shock. And this is from my research because of guys like you, James, because of guys like Alex Jones. I've been digging in deep to what's been going on. This was a staged event to push Obama forward in the polls, to have people believe their hero, and the thing you guys got is Obama.
Something going on with the phones here. Is that your phone, Ray, or James? Is that your phone?
Well, I think ultimately what Ray's saying is something that we did point out earlier. Beltane and Walpurgis, May Day. This is an occult holiday. That's why we saw the death of Hitler. That's why we see, you know, mission accomplished. That's why we see the royal rituals with Will and Kate.
That's right. James, do you have any final comments you want to make before we go?
Well, let me just pick up from what that caller was saying before the break, where he was saying that to a certain extent, this is distraction in, in and of itself. And I think he's actually right about that to a certain extent, because we can play into the distraction that's going on the political level. Oh, was he armed? Was he unarmed? Did we kill him in cold blood? Was it, you know, how did it happen? Blah, blah, blah. They try to play out that distraction to get people to once again reinvest themselves in the Osama bin Laden myth. And here we are refuting that. And it's important to refute it, because obviously this is the juice that they think is going to, you know, fuel the DNC rocket into the stratosphere for this election. But on another level, it is distraction from the real issues, and the fact that right now, today, in Syria, al-Qaeda is working with the U.S. government to commit terrorist attacks in Syria right now, just as they did in Libya last year. This is not disputed. This is not something that's controversial. It is happening. There are al-Qaeda fighters in the mix there. The U.S. government is funding them. So this is what the real issue is. You're against al-Qaeda? Well, guess what? We're working with al-Qaeda. We, in quotation marks, are working with al-Qaeda in Syria right now. How come no one's talking about that?
I agree with you. It's like when I saw that, I thought, we don't make deals with alleged terrorists, and now they're our buddies in Syria. I it's funny, you know, the war is weird. Politics are weird. And people just don't hear the truth. They hear what they want to hear. It's selective hearing. And I just really, really think that we need to get out of the denial and realize that the government does what they do. And if we don't object to it, if we remain silent, they're going to continue to do it. And we're going to get kicked around by it.
It's about the delegitimization of the beast system that they're trying to put up over us, that's always just trying to get us to acquiesce and give up and just roll over and take whatever they say as gospel truth. But we have to fight back, and we have to know that that no political messiah is going to come to save you. I think you have to be defend yourself, basically, and it's all about trying to reach for cognitive liberty and just basically not buying into whatever they sell you whenever they come along with it.
I fully agree with you, and I think that we need to dismiss the apotheosis, which is the Obama administration. And even if we have some sort of a external messianic view of Mitt Romney, I think we need to evaluate both candidates for where they are and what their agendas are, and realize who their ties are and who is there to bring forth this agenda of a new world order, which of course is obviously here now. It's just a matter of declaring it so, but it just seems more and more like it's here. James Corbett, thank you for being on Ground Zero tonight. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule and always delivering great stuff. Where can we find you on the net?
CorbettReport.com. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T, report.com. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm here anytime you need me.
You bet. We'll bring you on all the time. You're fantastic. Thank you so much, James Corbett. And if you have any other questions tonight, James Evan Pilato is still with us. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Keep it here on Ground Zero. For more information, we've only just begun. We'll be back.